What should happen is I should somehow catch my reflection in a mirror or a shop window, 50 or so pages in, and describe myself to you that way. Seems a bit contrived to me, that method. Besides which, if I catch my reflection in shop windows, I tend to scream with horror, rather than tip my head to one side and make measured, composed observations. Also, I want to know what people look like right at the start, don't you? My name is Clara, which is quite pretty, and my surname is Hutt, which isn't. Although it enables me to think of myself as Jabba the Hutt in my more self-loathing moments. I have a husband, Robert, who is a mystery. Does anybody actually know what goes on in their husband's head, or is it just me? But quite attractive. I have a part-time job as a magazine writer, a big house, and nice clothes. I'm 33, and some days I wake up with the sneaky feeling that my life isn't all it should be. "What's that?" Haroon inquired, pointing, even though he knew it was impolite to do so. "A floating gardener, naturally," said Butt the Hoopoe. That made no sense. "You mean a floating garden?" Haroon corrected the bird, which gave a little snort. "That's all you know," it harumphed. At that moment, the high-speed vegetation actually reared up out of the water and proceeded to wind and knot itself around and about until it had taken something like the shape of a man, with the lilac-coloured flower positioned in its head where the mouth should be. "So it is a floating gardener, after all," Haroon realised. The floating gardener was now running lightly over the surface of the water, showing no sign of sinking. "How could he sink?" Butt the Hoopoe interjected. "Would he not be a sinking gardener in that case? Whereas, as you observe, he floats." If called across to the gardener, who at once nodded a brief greeting.
"Got a stranger with you. Very odd. Still, your own business," he said.
His voice was as soft as flower petals. After all, he was actually speaking through those lilac lips. "I thought all you guppies were chatterboxes," Haroon whispered to If. "But this gardener doesn't say much."
"He is talkative," If rejoined. "For a gardener, anyhow."
"How do you do?" Haroon called across to the gardener, thinking that, as he was the stranger, it was his business to introduce himself.
Cecily Finn is 97.5 years old. Her hair is as stiff and bright as a firmly beaten egg white, and her dark eyes hold the look of a permanently unimpressed owl. She claims that all she wants is death, because boredom and institutional fish pie are worse than dying. But Cecily has endured far greater horrors than overcooked haddock. Over the many weeks Kate Parker has been coming to visit her at Lauderdale House for Exceptional Ladies, Cecily has shared with her a smorgasbord of tales of love and rebellion, triumphs and travels. Cecily often tries to pass off Shakespeare quotes as her own. She talks in metaphors that take an age to decode. She never holds back, and if there's a choice between bitter and sweet, she'll take bitter every time. Still, Cecily has taught Kate several valuable lessons, not least the perfect menu for what Kate craves most in the world. Kate turns 40 today. She'll be celebrating with Nick. Gentle, handsome Nick. In a few weeks' time, Kate and Nick will move in together. It is happening. And all the doubts Cecily has scattered in Kate's mind will be brushed away like black pepper spilled on a pristine tablecloth. So why does Kate feel, as she stands outside Cecily's door, that in spite of all the barbs and bristle that come with the package, Cecily is the one person who can help rid her of this gnawing ache that's lodged itself deep in the pit of her stomach? Kate takes a deep breath and knocks on the door, waiting for that familiar, haughty voice to tell her to come in.
"Come in,"